Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome to the Magic Week in Review, bringing you news, rumor, and culture reports from the front lines of the magic industry. I'm Justin Robert Young, editor of iTricks.com. And joining me on the podcast is, one of our favorite guests. He's, of course, the headliner at the Flamingo Casino in lovely Las Vegas. Ladies and gentlemen, Nathan Burton, welcome back to the podcast.
It is 103 degrees today in Vegas, just to throw that out there.
Man, it is, because I moved to San Francisco, and this is like the first time in my life where I've not been hot during the summer. It's freezing out here always.
Not in Vegas.
No, everyone else is melting. You're melting. Everybody on the East Coast is melting. Somebody's listening to me in their car when their air conditioning just broke, and they're like furious that this is even a topic of discussion because they're trying to get away from the heat. And yeah, so you guys you're just evaporating out there.
Yeah, I haven't sweat this much since I competed at IBM Wrestling Convention when I was a kid.
Well, you want to know what? We are going to talk about a couple things, including a new, you guys are always, you and Emily and your mom and your whole brain trust out there, you guys just do the absolute best in terms of hustling people into the theater and continuing to make your magic show one of the most well-watched out there in Vegas. And we're going to talk about a new thing you guys have going that's really, really cool, as well as get a little America's Got Talent. We're going to break down the field a little bit for this, which is shaping into a very interesting year for America's Got Talent as far as magic is concerned. But first, Nathan, you were on TV. You're on Lifetime TV.
We were on a little show called Coming Home.
Now, how does that come up? Like, how do the producers come to you? Is it something that you guys, like, respond to, that they're looking for magicians? How does everything come together?
For this particular TV show, they actually approached Caesars Entertainment, which, if you're not in Vegas, Caesars Entertainment owns Harrah's, Flamingo, Paris, Bally's, Planet Hollywood. They own like 7-8 hotels just in Flamingo and Las Vegas. So they went to them and they said, we want a magic show and that could make somebody appear and do it really cool, and we do a lot of stuff for them. And they said, well, you gotta try out Nathan Burton. And we met with them and we talked over ideas, and there was a really evolution of what the initial concept was to what we actually ended up with.
And what was the initial concept? And for just real quick to reset, for people who don't know what the show is, it is focused around having returning soldiers come back to their families in interesting and dynamic ways that usually has an element of surprise to it that kind of feeds into the family dynamic.
And I will say, we do a lot of different TV things, a lot of stuff. There's a lot of setup and there's a lot of prep and there's a lot, not that there wasn't present preparation in this TV show, but the actual moment of the kids when they're reunited with their dad who's been serving our country for over a year in Afghanistan, and when they're reunited, that's a real moment. The kids are surprised, and the audience cries. And we were all crying. And I've had friends call me, and they said, I just watched the last 5 minutes of that show, and I was bawling watching this kid, two kids, being reunited with their father. I mean, it was a really cool thing for us to do. Granted, yes, did I do the TV show for publicity and to sell tickets? Yeah. But here's the bonus side is it's not trashy TV, which I've done a ton of that, and it's a great thing, and it's just a good. I don't think I'll ever do a TV show where it's just goodness to the best.
Is there an element for you in terms of the presentation that do you want to alter what you do to respect that moment, or artistically or creatively, do you want to make room for that in your presentation, or is it just best to do what you do, do it the best, and have this really touching moment operate alongside of it?
Well, the one thing to keep in mind when you're doing something like this is that the reuniting of the father and son, you're just the vehicle. you know, whether or not it's reunited on a football field or if it's a surprise at a school or at a magic show, you're the vehicle. And the thing that really counts and the thing you don't want to get in the way of is the kids being reunited. That's what the whole, that's why people aren't crying because I just make a snowmobile appear. They could, you know, oh, that's a cool trick. But the reason they're crying is because a son has not seen his dad in a year. And this is the first time he sees his father. That's the most important thing. And then you just want to, you know, for us is the way they wanted to do it was different how I wanted to do it. And I really had a fight with them and say, you know what? Why don't you let me bring the kids up? Let me make it snow. Who doesn't like kids playing in the snow? And say, well, have the host ask the kid, would you like to see one trick? What would it be? And he goes, make my daddy appear. I run back, throw up the curtain, make the snowmobile appear. He's in his fatigues. He jumps off. He hugs his son. I mean, that's, and I got, there's a shot with a jib, which is a big arm with a camera that shoots down on the kids with the snow hitting their face. That's the shot I wanted. And I really, they didn't even want the snow. They didn't want the snowmobile. They just wanted me to do this normal dressing room where I just make everybody appear. But I wanted to do something really cool. And I think, you know, by far the greatest part is the kid being reunited.
How much time did you spend with the family?
I spent zero time with the kids. I spent all my time with the father, the soldier. It was kind of cool is, but not very cool actually, is he's actually in Vegas 4 or 5 days. They actually go through a debriefing thing where, you know, when you're out in the war and you're out in the sand or you're fighting, he told me, he goes, when I go into a restaurant, I sit my back to the wall in a corner. And I go, why? He goes, I know I can't get attacked. Because when I walk in a room, I'm like, there's where the sniper's going to be. This, he thinks like a soldier.
Yeah.
He thinks like someone that's in war. And it was very, you know, we do magic. We sell tickets and we hustle and everything. But in the big scheme of things, this is way, way more important than what we do. What, you know, a podcast about magicians is soldiers protecting our country so we can have a podcast.
Absolutely.
And that we can talk about, that magicians can come on here and say whatever they want. They can say good, they can say bad, they can talk smack. But if it wasn't for the soldiers protecting us, protecting our country and serving our country, and I know this sounds very patriotic, but it is. I mean, we wouldn't be able to do this. And that was very, very cool. I mean, the magic is secondary. It was for me and my family, it was just a cool thing to be a part of. And I, you know, I've never been in war and I've never served our country in a military fashion, but just to do something small like this had a very, very emotional feeling for us.
It certainly was a very touching moment from what I saw of the presentation of the father to his kids. I thought you guys did a fantastic job of honoring that moment. Where is the best place for people to see it? Is that up on iTunes yet? Or I'm sure it'll be up on YouTube at some point.
It's actually, you know, some friends of mine tried to put it on YouTube and they pulled it right off with the copyrights, but it's on Lifetime, right? I believe it's up on Lifetime. You know, you type in Lifetime Coming Home, you're going to click on that page, and they have the full episodes on Lifetime.com.
All right. Everybody go check that out, because that is I'm with you, Nathan, and everybody else that was calling you. It's kind of hard not to cry. You know, it's hard not to roll a few tears.
It's a very cool thing.
Let's talk about a new strategy you guys are using. And let me just say this to everybody listening. You know, if you have dreams of going out to Vegas and making it as a working magician, I love having you on, Nathan, because I don't know if two things. I don't know if anybody is smarter about getting people into the theater than your show. And I don't think that people are as candid as you. And I'm very excited that when we talk that we can have, I can have both of those elements on the show because you're very honest about this stuff and you're very good at what you do. What is the most recent development for people that are going to come to see the Nathan Burton Show?
Well, before we get into that, I'm very proud to say that we're almost 6.5 years continuously performing in Vegas, 2 years at Planet Hollywood, and then we're 4.5 years at the Flamingo and four worlds in Vegas. I think it equals out to about 36 years.
Oh, yeah. No, you've basically done Lance Burton's entire run in terms of a four-wall deal.
So I'm very, you know, it's a lot of work, and anybody that tries it, I kind of take off my hat to anybody that comes out here and tries it, because, I mean, the list of shows that have opened and closed since I've been open, man, it's a long list. But the new thing for us is we're always trying to reinvent ourselves, trying to stay ahead of the game. You know, we're always thinking of something new every 18 months. And, you know, we don't want to be Blockbuster, and we want to be the Netflix, and then even Netflix reinvented themselves, and they came the new Netflix where you download. And we're always taking that strategy. And so one thing we're doing right now, and this is kind of a more of a boutique-y kind of thing, is we have an ultimate VIP package. And especially for magicians, this is very cool. Not also do you get the best seat in the house, but you get to come in the showroom at 3 o'clock. And this is before the house is open. It's really before the lights are turned on, the curtains are flown in. You actually come in at 3 o'clock, you're escorted in a group of usually about 40 people to the balcony, to a private area where it's just the people for this VIP experience. And you get to see a 45-minute unbelievable close-up magic show by an amazing magician from Mexico, originally Armando Vera. He's won several awards. He's got some great stuff. And even just for magicians, you want to see some different stuff. He's entertaining, but he's got some really cool stuff that magicians love. And I'm like, how do you do that? It's amazing stuff. So you get a 45-minute close-up magic show, the only close-up magic show I think right now in town that you can buy tickets for. I know there's some free stuff and some walk-around guys, but this is the only close-up magic show. And then you get 45 minutes of that. And while he's performing, the lights are turning on, curtains are getting flown in. So you see this theater come alive. And it's really, you're up in the balcony. It's a really cool experience. And then right before showtime, they take you from the balcony and they put you right in your VIP seat. And you get to see a 45-minute magic show. You get to see my show, all for one great price.
You know, it's a really great idea. And it's another way that you can kind of, you know, give people a bang for the buck and something that they can understand, you know, while they're in a cab, right? You know, it's just more magic. You get two shows for the price of one. It's just an easy way to kind of get that across, right?
Well, yeah, and I unfortunately can't do close-up magic in my show just because of the union and the video screens, and I've tried it. It hasn't really worked. This is a way that people, if they're really magic buffs or junkies, man, you get to see a great, it's really an awesome close-up magic show. And Armando, I've known him for over 20 years, and we were working on this idea, and it's turned out great. People walk out of there before. I have 40 people that come and sit in the front row, and they just saw 45 minutes, and they're already warmed up, and they're ready to have a great time because they just saw an unbelievable show.
So you're saying that it's led to better audiences for you?
When I walk out, I got 40 people that are already like, yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, me working for 10 or 15 minutes. And it doesn't seem like 40 people out of 700 people doesn't seem like a lot, but it's like that fun section. Rent used to do the show, Rent in New York used to do a thing where they gave the first two rows away, I think for like $20 or $10 or even free. And that was for the true fans because they would have that energy in the front row. This is kind of the same thing.
A lot of people will, you know, I think I'm sure they come to you for advice, and I get emails and phone calls about people. God knows why they would want to ask me, the guy who runs a magic blog. But, you know, what would you say out of 100%, what is the split between the energy and time that you have to spend performing and putting together an act, like the creative magic stuff of, you know, what is the act that you are putting on, and you know, how much of 100% is that, and then how much of the rest of it is the just get people into the theater, you know, move tickets, you have to, you know, sell X amount by the end of the week or by the end of the month to keep the lights on, you know, and the idea of just advertising as if you might as well be selling razor blades.
This is not a good percentage because magicians aren't going to like to hear this. Unfortunately, it's like 95%. And I will say, you know, people that want to come to Vegas, you know, go. I worked on ships. I worked all over the place. Have your show done before you open your show because you honestly need to spend all your time selling tickets.
Yeah. Well, that's 95 was actually higher than I thought it was going to be, but I just wanted to say that because like that's like my one thing whenever I talk to people, I'm like, listen, like, how much do you want to spend every waking moment selling tickets? Because if your answer to that is I was born to sell tickets, then congratulations. You are ready for a show in Vegas, you know? If it's like, maybe, I don't know, I guess, then I don't know if you're ready.
You can have the best magic show in the entire world, and if you don't sell tickets, it will close.
No, is it just because there will always be somebody else out there with a bigger name and more billboards and you know, is it just market saturation? People just don't go try out a new magic show, even if the word of mouth is theoretically fantastic?
There's only a handful of guys that have the name recognition to sell a showroom. I mean, unfortunately, the rest of us don't fall in that category.
I mean, there'd be three magic acts in Vegas that sell on name recognition. Yeah. Like Penn and Teller, Copperfield, and Angel.
Yeah, and even that's tough. You know, and they're always, I mean, why do you think Penn and Teller were on Apprentice? I mean, why do you think Chris is always trying to do stuff on TV? Why is David doing stuff? I mean, why is anybody doing it? It's to sell stuff. And for the rest of us, I mean, we all dream to be in that category, and we're always working on projects to lead to that. But until that time, if you want to have a show in Vegas, you got to sell tickets. And, you know, that's all the, I mean, whoever sells the most tickets wins at the end of the day. You hold the power with the casino and you win. And that's, when you sell the most tickets, you can do whatever you want to a certain degree in the casino. You go to the hotel and I can probably knock over a blackjack table. Not that I would ever do that. And they would laugh and be like, you know what? You have 700 people today. You can do whatever you want.
So what do you think is the most you could get away with? You've had a successful show there for 4 years. Like, can you run your car into the casino and everyone will just laugh?
I made a joke once, and probably not the most appropriate thing, with the head people of Caesars Entertainment. I made a joke because they were congratulating me on the ticket sales. I said, you know, I bet I could take a dump on the blackjack table and you guys would laugh about it. And they pretty much laughed about it. Not that... I don't condone that. I don't know why I said that. But I was just, you know, and they pretty much agreed. Not that I would. And you know what? I'm the total opposite. I'm the far from being, I want, you know, a cabana with bottles. Not that they won't give it to me. But I don't go out of my way to be like, I want this and I want, you know, I just, at the end of the day, I love performing and I'm very, very lucky. Thank God every single day that I get to do what I get to do. And, you know, I'm very lucky.
Well, part of the reason why you had the name recognition that you did when you did come to Vegas was because of America's Got Talent. There, I think last season, I mean, there were certainly magicians on there, but I think what we're looking at right now unfolding is probably the strongest magic year since 2 years ago with Murray Sawchuk, Dan Sperry, and Michael Grasso. But we've seen kind of the rise of the mentalist, specifically with Eric Dittleman on America's Got Talent. Well, what do you make of this? It seems like this is the kind of act that, you know, you wouldn't want to do because it's not particularly visual.
You know, I was actually thinking about television and magic and kind of over the last 20 years. And you know what? America's Got Talent, I think, for magicians, is the new world's greatest magic. That was the show. World's Greatest Magic was the show that everybody wanted to do. It was on Thanksgiving and there were, you know, five great shows and who's who of magic. And now America's Got Talent is the who's who. Because you look at this year's lineup and you're like, wow. And we haven't even got to the YouTube show. And if you look at that, it's like Rudy Kobe, Kirby Van Burch, Bambi's, or Kirby's wife, Bambi. I think Eric Buss. I know I'm leaving out some people that I'm in the car, so I don't have the list in front of me. But there's a couple. I mean, it's going to be a great. There's already four magicians through to the live shows. And I guarantee there's, I think, four more in the YouTube thing. Probably another 2 to 1 will make it through. I mean, we could have possibly six magicians in the top 48. And I think that's going to be the highest we've ever had.
Easily. And they don't, you know, it doesn't seem like there's a flash in the pan. I think Jarrett and Raja, they very much, I think, smartly have kind of branded themselves the next Siegfried and Roy. And have understood that with that mantle comes kind of big spectacle. And I think that that seems like something. As much as I like Eric, I don't know once we start getting to the super big, you know, the big time, I don't know how much mentalism is going to carry. Now, whether or not he kind of expands his act to sort of fill the stage, we will see. But if I were to pick the strongest so far, barring whatever we're going to see out of the YouTube show, of the acts that are already in there, I think Jared and Roger are there if they can continue to have big, over-the-top, silly, fun, grand illusions.
Well, here, I'm gonna flip the interviewee around. I'm gonna interview you right now.
Go.
Your boys with Andrew.
Yes.
And Disillusion, the cardboard thing was on there.
Yes.
It proceeded very. What was your thoughts on that? Yeah. Now you're not a podcast guy. You're a friend of a guy who had a material done on there. Not in the greatest light. How do you feel about it?
I kind of wish he would have paid a little bit more attention to the DVD, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know how much that will, I mean, particularly affect sales of the trick, because it's been out there for a while. So I think the people that want to buy it are going to buy it. And anybody that would be turned off from buying it, I think they might be balanced out by just more people who see it and possibly see potential in it and want to screw around.
I would say that sales would increase. I know Mike Michaels, you know, big jaw thing. He sold a ton of those, and it, you know, the helicopter. I mean, I don't, good or bad. I mean, I think you're right. Someone will see it and go, oh, I could do it better. I could do it this way. But I just wonder, you know, a friend of a friend, when you watch that and you see, you know, they cut it in a way, you can tell by the sound of the music, what they're trying to portray, if it's going to go well or not. I mean, they already know to install it, and they enhance it with the music and the womp womp or the edit at the judges' faces. And I just wondered what you thought.
Well, I mean, I certainly don't think that there were any fault in how it was presented, you know, from the, you know, the point of view of the producers. I think, you know, they're going to present it in the way that kind of carries their narrative of what happens, you know, like, you know, more than anybody, you only have X amount of time to kind of tell the story of what happened that day in the most entertaining way possible. So, you know, he didn't do the trick particularly well, and it wasn't, you know, there's a million and a half ways that you can do that effect. That's an effect that me and Andrew did, run a casino shows down in Florida. And it's like, knowing that was going to be at a casino in Margate, Florida, you know, we changed the effect and made it a different, more suitable kind of experience. And, you know, I wish that maybe things would not have been presented in the way they were. But then again, I think that the magician who did it wishes that things would have went better. So it's frustrating.
Looking back on now, would you suggest that he would have done it on the first round, where it's more of a, you can tell the first round, everybody's in street clothes sometimes. It's more of like, you know, finding the diamond in the rough versus Vegas week. They want you to take that up a notch. Do you think the facts would have done better on the first round?
As presented? No. I mean, I think the problem was with the presentation of it, and the problem was with, you know,
but if you had an audience and cardboard, at least for me, when I watched the cardboard, is more of like, I'm a beginner. Not that I have cardboard in my show, cardboard boxes, but, you know, it's like you're off the street and you're just trying to do something. I think it would have done really well, even in the same, because you would have the audience reaction. Because in the Vegas, there's no audience and the judges are just sitting there, and if it's not killer.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you kind of have to have in anything, in any kind of presentation, in anything that you do in your show, all the props have to be there for a reason, you know, even if it's just like being presented as either something that is ornate or mundane, it needs to exist in its own reality. You need to create your reality on stage and then tell a story within that. So if you just bring cardboard out, then it's just going to look like cardboard. If cardboard's there for a reason, or cardboard's there that helps you prove, you know, that this is a mundane, ordinary object that I'm going to make magic out of, or maybe it's a proof that it's not gimmicked, it's not like a big box, then it's one thing, you know. But we didn't see a setup. We just kind of saw the effect sort of put out there cold. And, you know, I don't think it's I don't think it's a surprise. He didn't make it through. And, you know, having seen that effect 1.5 million times live, you know, I think that there's some better ways you can put it forward. But the cardboard, I don't think, was necessarily the problem, as long as you have a reason for it to be there.
Yeah, no, I agree. That was a good show. I wanted to flip it around.
That's good. I like that. That was good, Nathan. That was a nice
I'm
little...
I'm Nathan Burke with Bang Gone. We're done.
all right, so of those YouTube people, because you have a lot of, you know, obviously very seasoned magicians that are on there, who would you like to see, and who do you think would go the farthest?
I don't have the list in front of me, but I believe Rudy Coley is by far the biggest name in the magic world. Am I safe to say that?
I would say that there is nobody else that has had television specials amongst that list.
Yeah, I mean,
magicians.
That is impressive, is when the submission video is actually from his Fox special.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. you know, it's you're coming in later in the game, which is not necessarily a bad thing. And you just got to come in and do your best stuff. And, that group, the public's going to vote. So we don't know the top. I forget if it's top 10 or top 12. They bring in, I think it's 12 acts.
Yeah.
You know, and how many of them?
Rudy
so
probably
maybe,
has a fairly good chance, not only because that effect is good, but also because he's got, you know, I think through the Marilyn Manson connection, he's got a loyal following of people that will continue to vote.
Well, he's got that, and he's probably, you know, he can submit videos for the next round of, like, all this great, you know, he's got a lot of good stuff.
He's got great stuff, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see who makes it through and, you know, who doesn't, or who gets voted through. And, you know, it's already been an amazing America's Got Talent, and it's just bonus on it for
all
next
right,
week.
I'm going to hit you with one true or false before we wrap this up. Rudy
right.
Coby could be the first magician to win America's Got Talent. True
it
or false?
Could happen. It could happen. It's someday it will happen. I just don't know when it was going to happen. I think, you know,
let me say this. Rudy Coby is the first magician to win America's Got Talent. True or false?
Everybody has an opportunity to win. Everybody does. I mean,
that's not true or false.
If you're asking just about that, yeah, true. Sure. I'm going to answer true. I'm going to answer true with anybody you ask on the panel, because everybody could.
Everybody's certainly good. I mean, I'll say this, and no disrespect to anybody else up there, I think that there's been a lot of creativity that I'm very excited to see more of. But in terms of a track record, Rudy Coby thinks big. He's got a big, big creative mind, and that's a big canvas to paint on. I think he could really do something special if he made it further in. And I think all the other acts are fantastic as well. I'm very curious, and I'm just very excited to kind of see Mentalism, like, all of a sudden. It just sort of, like, came out of nowhere. Like, why? It seems like somebody would have done this earlier. Just, like, hey, read their minds.
Rudy has, you know, a ton. I'm sure he has a ton of stuff in the warehouse from the TV specials that he could pull out and do on the show. I mean, there's one of the biggest challenges that we've always talked about on the show is the guys that build, you know, 2 days before and are rehearsing, you know, trying to get the stuff to work in the parking lot. You know,
yeah,
and he's got stuff that he's done. You know, anytime you've done something for 10 or 15 years of your career, man, it's way safer.
Yeah, and you know, you can cut it down. You can expand elements of it. You can cut parts of it out and make it the entire act. You know, it just he's in a tremendous advantageous place. So, you know, and he's a genuinely unique personality. That is for sure. I think, you know, he's already played well on television in kind of his lab man role, you know? And I think you hang out with Rudy Coby, you are hanging out with a character. He is definitely a unique individual that I think will play well on television. That is for sure.
Well, and we all, I mean, I think you're the same. We all grew up with Rudy Kobe. You know, it was like Kevin James, Rudy Kobe. It was that era of all, you know, Vaudeville 2000 that they did at IBM convention.
Yeah.
We watched the TV specials that we saw, you know, it was that piece from that genre that we grew up on and was like, look at this cool stuff. And now he's on America's Got Talent. But the one thing we had learned from the past couple seasons is you never know. I mean, who can, you know, Dan Sperry comes on and does Lifesaver, and it's the biggest thing of his career. And it's, you know, you just never know who, you know, who we might see this kid turn into the next Darren Brown from being on America's Got Talent. You just don't know. And if you're huge in the magic world, doesn't necessarily mean it'll translate, but, you know, some of the biggest names have tried it, Pendragon, you know, they've tried it, and it doesn't always translate.
No.
It's whether or not you can play the game and be, you know, we're all, you know, you got to be humbled about it too, that you want the big dream. And if you say, if I've already had a TV special, you ain't going to go far. If Rudy said, I have my own TV special on Fox and I, you know, I'm already bigger, you would see him knocked off in 2 seconds.
Yeah, no, you have to come in and play in the right way. And, you know, it's just a matter of awareness and it might take a certain degree of ego humbling. That's no secret.
Regardless, it's the biggest year. It's going to be a great year for Magic of America's Got Talent.
Yeah. And we're rooting. I'll say this. We're rooting for Eric Dittleman. We're very much. Eric has been a fan of iTrix for years. He, you know, has always been very nice to everybody at the site. And, you know, very, very, very excited for him to go forward and, you know, put Mentalism on this big stage and be Central New York's own Darren Brown. That's what I like.
And the cool thing is we're talking about him right now because he's on there and he's doing something different. And I have a feeling he's going to do something big on the next round in the live show. And, you know, let's see what he does. You know, it's a free-for-all. Any one of these magicians could win.
All right, Nathan, how about we tell people how everybody listening can win tickets by way of money to your show?
Win what?
That was a very lame attempt at a segue. How can people buy tickets to your show? When does your show happen? Where can they get more information on it?
Every day at 4 o'clock at the Flamingo, except for Mondays. That's our dark day. The Armando Vera Close-Up Experience starts at 3 o'clock. That's when you can just go to the box office and you know, we got deals online. You can pick up a Vegas book. You got deals. And even if you just go to the box office and say you're a magician, they're going to hook you up with the VIP package. And you'll probably even get in for like $20. And that includes the VIP seat, the box office seat, the tax, my show, and a great seat. And you can't beat that. That's a great deal. Because we like to take care of the magicians.
There we go. Everybody head on out. I know the next time I'm in Vegas, I'll definitely make sure to go and check it out. All right, Nathan. Well, do you have and you're on Twitter and Facebook and everything, right? How do people get in touch there?
Nathan Burton CM on Twitter. We have a fan page on Facebook. But look us up on Twitter. And the old school way is our website. Look at that, NathanBurton.com.
I know.
Or just come by the Flamingo, get tickets to the box office. And, you know, thanks for having us on. It's our 63rd time we've been on the show. We had a great time.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to 64. That about wraps it up for this edition of the Magic Weekend Review. Of course, itrix.com, magic news every single day. You know, we've had a great week. People, you know, I think we're really kind of catching a wave here, so everybody check it out. By the way, also, check out the show on Stitcher, the Stitcher radio app. Itrix is now on there. Go ahead and download it. I know I've been using it lately, and I really do enjoy it. So it's free, the Stitcher radio app on Android and iPhone. And yeah, till next week. I'm Justin Robert Young, Justin R. Young on Twitter. Bang and gone.
itrix.com